You a fan of birds, Kyle?
Birds, the horror film?
No, just birds.
Yeah, I'm pro birds.
You're pro birds? Do you have a fave bird?
I have a fave bird. Of course I have a fave bird, Emily. Who doesn't have a fave bird?
I don't think I have a fave bird.
Okay, I don't know where I don't know how that makes me feel. Penguins, Emily. Pinguino.
You do. That is your favorite bird. That's very true.
I love penguins. They're like the butlers of the sea.
Do you think they actually are the butlers of the sea?
Yeah, I really do.
In practice?
Yeah, we only ever see them when they're off, but when they're working, they also have a little bow tie.
We've never caught them on duty.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, birds are great, Emily. There's a lot of fun ones out there, too.
I like owls, actually. I could say that owls are my fave bird.
Those are good birds. Owls are cool. Because it's like... Whoa, you ever seen an owl wet?
I've not.
Emily, you got to get yourself a wet owl.
I think we should end this conversation now.
Welcome to Butter No Parsnips. Every week on Butter No Parsnips, your hosts Emily Moyers and Kyle Imperator take you on an adventure through the weird, wacky, wonderful, and sometimes even wicked world of one wayside word. Strange characters, delightful bits, and general joyousness abound. Join them as they test each other's etymological expertise.
Speaking of owls, guess what owls eat? Hey, everybody, welcome to Butter No Parsnips. I'm Kyle Imperator.
And I'm Emily Moyers. What was the link?
Owls eat parsnips, no?
I guess that's a fact we've made up and will now stick to.
They must. Buttered parsnips,
they must.
At least.
Yeah,
they must. We will force owls to eat parsnips from this day on.
Okay. All right. Sure.
Emily, I hear through the vine... You have a word for me today.
I do have a word for you, Kyle. Do you want your word?
Is bird the word, Emily?
Wow. 2006 called. It wants its joke back.
Sorry, I was born in a Family Guy episode.
All right, Kyle. Your word today is roup or raup. R-O-U-P, roup.
I mean, that's a bird word if I ever saw one. I mean, it sounds just like the noise a bird makes.
Onomatopoeic.
Whoop, whoop. Yeah, right?
Well, the way you're saying it, it sounds like a small dog.
What's the difference? I teach my birds. I used to have finches, Emily, and I taught them to roll over. I taught them to beg.
And
I taught them
real?
To do my taxes. I did used to have finches, but I didn't teach
this
them anything.
This is new information to
they
me.
They just pooped a lot. Roup.
Yeah, you keep saying it, but that's it.
Is it a noun?
It can be.
Oh, God.
It can just also be a verb.
That's the one I didn't want it to be. To roup. I roup the day that I learned what roup meant. Okay. It feels like it can go one of two ways, maybe both ways.
Okay.
Is it French in origin?
It is not.
Then my other guess is it from the Old Angles?
It is definitely from Middle English and Middle English. Probably goes back to Old English.
Okay, my wild stab in the dark. It's the dance that a bird does when it's mating, and to roup is to do that dance.
That's a super fun guess, but it is incorrect. Would you like a hint?
Yes, please.
The one word clue I have for you is horse.
All right, good night, everybody. It's been nice, but I think it'd be better off if you get someone else for this show. You could send my paycheck in the mail. Good night. Emily, you gotta be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me, Emily. You gotta be kidding me. You set me up for birds, and now I'm at horse? What am I supposed to believe here? How is the audience
supposed to have any faith in us as authentic narrators here.
Kyle, what's your guess?
Oh, my guess.
I've given you everything you need to know. It should be easy. Go for the verb, Kyle. This word has a few definitions. We're going to run through a fair amount, but the verb is the easiest one to get to, I think.
I don't know. To roop means to ride a bird like a horse.
All right, Kyle, I will give you a bonus hint, and then you'll get one more guess.
Oh, okay.
I said your one word clue is horse. There's more than one horse? Spelling of the word horse.
Oh, is horse like raspy, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a fun clue.
I was going to just let you dangle, but Seth was like, are you just gonna hang him out to dry like that?
Horse birds?
Yeah.
I don't know, from bird yelling? Is this to make a bird call? Is that what a to roop is?
Kyle, it's close enough. I'll give it to you.
Oh, wow. Okay. Cool. Nice.
So to roop is to cry, roar, or yell, to shout at the top of one's voice until hoarse, or to utter a harsh croaking cry like that of a crow.
Oh my gosh. Wild.
Yeah. But let's start. Let's begin at the beginning. Let's begin how roop is used and where it came from. It is primarily, nowadays, it is primarily a word in Scottish and Northern English dialects.
Oh.
Which I feel like is a place we seem to come back to a lot. I feel like we've had a lot of Scottish words.
Yeah, I feel like the past year for us has been...
Yeah, it's been the year of Scottish words. So in the definition that I just mentioned, to shout or cry out, the OED has quotes going back to the 14th century in Middle English, and it has often been used with alliteration as part of phrases like to roop rudely, or to roop and rave, or most often to roop and roar.
I mean, these are all phrases that are new to me, but also...
But they're good, right?
They're so Susian.
They are very Susian. I have an example of one from a book called The Metrical Life of St. Robert Knaresborough, with a K-N.
Metrical?
Well, it's a biography in verse. It is in poem form.
Oh, fun.
From 1425. There's a quote in there that says, he cried all the caitiff catched in care, ruefully to roop and to rare. And I think rare is an antiquated spelling of roar.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, to have a rare and good time, I always assume that you're screaming a lot, you know?
You're screaming a lot, yeah. A quick side note there, caitiff is another Middle English word, originally meant prisoner, came to mean despicable villain or a pitiful wretch. And it's a really good word, and I would have saved it for an episode, except I was with you when I was trying to figure out what it meant.
Yep. And then I went a searching because I can't keep my nose out of things. I like this poem. I want to read the whole
thing. There's a lot of good words in it. It's a whole book. It's a whole man's life in a poem.
I kind of don't really care all that much about Knaresborough, but I guess maybe that's why it was written in verse.
Yeah, it was to drum up interest.
Yeah, it was a marketing scheme.
I have another good quote here from Night and Morning, an 1841 novel by Lord Edward Bulwer Lytton that goes, quote, there they were, romping and rooping in the garden like a couple of jailbirds. A romping and a rooping.
Yes, about you and me, Em.
That's us. That's us. A couple of jailbirds. Romping and rooping. I have one more quick aside about Lord Lytton, that author. He was a novelist, poet, playwright, and politician credited with coining the phrases, the pen is mightier than the sword, and in pursuit of the almighty dollar, and the great unwashed.
I don't know what that last one is.
It's referring to the poor.
Oh, God.
The last one is rough.
Oh,
but those
God.
Are all like famous phrases that all came from this one man.
Hopefully through his fiction and his prose and
no,
not through...
I think that was politically he was talking about the great unwashed.
It was his...
I think it just sort of means like the masses. the lower classes. Oh. But it's a nice poetical phrase.
It doesn't sound very kind if he was trying to be.
Yeah, no, definitely it not is. Kind.
It sounds like he's trying to commit a poverty genocide.
Getting back to Roop, in terms of the etymology, as I mentioned earlier, we're not 100% sure. The OED speculates that it might have ultimately been borrowed from Scandinavian, from early Scandinavian. They point out the word raupa from Old Icelandic and the word rapa from another Germanic language called Faroese, both of which mean to boast, which is like sort of nearby to shout.
Yeah, sure. Jactation meant like to moan, cry out.
Yeah.
In its past. So
sure.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but the OED also mentions it might be related to another Germanic word, rope. And I'm curious, Kyle, if you had to guess at a relationship between roop and rope, what might you be thinking?
Rope as in things that you tie?
Well, Kyle, it's a fantastic question because no, there are two different ropes.
There's another rope? What's the other rope?
This is an old rope. An oh, old rope. It's all frayed. We don't use it anymore.
We give it to people who we don't care about.
That's right. So rope, the word that we use today, a noun meaning a strong cord made of twisted strands. In Old English, it was typically spelled and pronounced like rap or rape. It's an old word inherited from Germanic, and there are similar words across most other Germanic languages, all meaning basically the same thing. But there was another old Germanic verb, hropa, hropa, which mm-hmm. meant to shout or to cry out.
Yeah, this sounds familiar.
Yeah, so that also passed into Old English, and roop may have originated from or been influenced by that rope, but we're not sure.
Yeah, it's really interesting when you go back and, you know, we know so little, you know, the further back we go, it's,
yeah,
you know, being reconstructed.
Yeah, and like things about like pronunciation in particular, like we just are, it's guesswork.
But there are so many puzzle pieces that it's like, well, that's gotta fit together, you know? So I feel like whether or not it does or not, we'll never know, but we could just assume. That would make us all happier, no?
That's it. We could just decide.
Yeah.
So as I mentioned, there's a couple definitions that we're going to talk about today. One is roop can also be used as a noun, meaning hoarseness, huskiness, or bronchitis.
Oh.
And in this sense, it is often used with the definite article, the, as demonstrated with this quote from Brian Kirkby's 1898 Dialect Dictionary, Lakeland Words. He's got an entry for roop, and then a quote to demonstrate how it's used, which is, I've gotten the roop.
I feel like for all the diseases listed in that, it's that sentence, but with the disease switched out.
Yeah, it's like nothing has changed.
Brian, I think you're missing the point in using words in a sentence. It's to help build context for the reader.
What do you mean? I've gotten the roop.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what? We should probably stay as far away as we can, so...
Yeah, he's got the roop. You don't want to come here. It can also describe any rasping sound, as in this quote from an 1898 Daily News article, which describes, quote, that touch of noble hoarseness, like the roop of the bow on the string of a violoncello.
It's a very regal metaphor there.
Yes.
What noble hoarseness are they referring to?
Like the roop of the bow on the string.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously,
okay, sure.
Kyle. And there are a bunch of closely related words in other parts of speech, such as the adverb roopily, meaning huskily, hoarsely, as though affected
so
by
good.
The roop.
So
the
good.
Adjective rooped, meaning affected by the roop or hoarse mm-hmm. from speaking mm-hmm. too much. Mm-hmm. There's another adjective rooping. It's very similar to rooped, but rarer in use, and that one means of a voice or sound. It can mean harsh or hoarse or raucous, but it is typically used to describe a bird's call as being harsh or croaky.
Oh, okay.
And similarly, the adjective roopy could just mean hoarse, but was more often used to describe birds affected by the roop.
And also the currency in the Legend of Zelda franchise.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Kyle.
Yes.
Before the Roop referred to hoarseness in humans, the Roop was much more often used to refer to a disease of poultry and other birds causing white pustules in the respiratory tract.
Yes. I was like, the whole time was, is the croup something? Why did I, that's in my head. The croup.
I don't know about the croup.
Oh, and nope, guys, this is a bad, never mind.
Don't look it up. Delete the Kyle said that.
Do not look up the croup. Okay. But I've been thinking about Pip this whole time.
So Kyle, I have a question for you, and I know this is such a long shot, but do you know any other word which could describe both a disease of birds and an ailment of humans, usually used with the word the in front of it?
I'm scratching my head.
That you could maybe give a quick cliff notes of for people who haven't been listening to our podcast for 80 billion years.
Yeah. If I had to take a guess, there's a multi-purpose word out there that we covered in episode 15 of our podcast, PIP, P-I-P, which was a disease of the bird described just the way that you described Roop.
Literally, yes. The Roop and the Pip are used in the same way as you described in episode 15. The chickens got the Pip, the chickens got the Roop. It's both. And some of the sources I looked at said they were just two different words for the same disease.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Well, I mean, probably also because they just called anything back.
Absolutely.
Then.
But yeah, so the Roop is, I think, a little bit more focused on the throat. I found old quotes saying things like, you can identify that your chicken has the Roop if it sounds croaky or raspy. And from the way you described it when we were talking about the Pip, it's more characterized by like that crusty tongue.
Yeah, and like all around the beak.
Yeah. But the words Roop and Pip were often used together. My favorite example being this quote from Samuel Richardson's 1748 novel Clarissa, quote, "Thou droopest like a Pip or Roop cloaking chicken."
Cloaking?
Yeah, I don't really get that. I guess maybe like you're trying to hide.
Oh, or maybe it's clucking.
Oh, you think?
Maybe. I don't know. When
was
this written?
Cloaking, like with an O-A, but maybe.
Yeah. You know, all those cloaking chickens. They're mother cloakers out there.
Oh, but sure. Maybe cluck, because then it's you'd sound roopy. Your cluck would be all croaky.
Yeah. It doesn't cluck anymore. It cloaks.
And like the Pip, the Roop referred to the bird disease first and then widened out to apply to humans. You'd say if you were croaky, you were Roopy. You've got the Roop.
So it just in this sense, it applied to birds first?
Yeah. So the verb to Roop, meaning to shout, seems to have come before both. So the bird disease usage of Roop might have emerged out of the fact that chicken sounded hoarse and there was already a verb that meant to shout until you're hoarse. It might also have been linked to a Norman French word, Roopy, R-U-P-I-E, which referred to nasal mucus.
Well, just like Pip. Pip came from pituitary, because they thought that the pituitary gland controlled the mucus in your body. You know.
It all comes back to mucus. Yeah.
It's all snot to me.
That's right. It's all for snot.
It's all for snot.
Changing gears here, Kyle. Mm-hmm. Can you think of any examples of people who might often go hoarse?
Oh.
Like types of people, professions
of
people.
Okay, good. Because I was going to like call out some people and it's probably best that we don't. I mean, right off the top of my noggin, I'm thinking auctioneers.
Kyle, you got it in one.
Wow.
Did you want to spin on some more?
I mean, do I have the opportunity? Let's see.
Wow. What a mistake I've made.
Professional, you know how in Tom and Jerry, when something falls on Tom's fingers or his toes, he screams like a crazy man?
Yeah, he would often go hoarse.
Yeah, but it's people who get paid to do that.
Is this just a roundabout way of saying voice actors?
What? No.
Or do you think that someone has to stand next to a microphone and actually have a piano fall on their hand?
Yeah.
So, yes, Kyle, we are talking about auctioneers. To roup can also mean to sell or to let at a public auction.
So good!
And a roup can refer to a public auction.
Oh my god! That is a great evolution of that word.
Yeah, so it does probably also stem from that original verb to shout, because the auctioneer would shout themselves hoarse in the auction.
I mean, only if they're doing a good job, right?
That's right. And there are a bunch of phrases using the word roup that sprung from that are all related to auctions. And we could maybe do just a really quick fire guessing game with these if you want to just take a stab at I've got a bunch here. So Absolutely. There are objects such as the roup bill.
The bill you get when you're paying.
No, it is the record of what is to be auctioned.
Oh, sure.
The roup roll or rouping book.
God, that's different. I don't know.
It's Pass. The record of what has been sold.
Oh, okay.
But very similar.
Yeah.
Rouping silver.
That's a horse that's being sold.
Kyle. That's the money raised from the auction.
Mm-hmm.
There are also people such as the roup maker.
The auctioneer?
It's the person who organizes the auction.
Okay.
But similar. The rouping clerk.
Is that one the auctioneer?
That's the auctioneer's clerk.
Good.
And the rouper.
If that's not the auctioneer, I will drop a piano on my hand.
It is the person whose belongings are sold at the auction. I also found the terms rouping wife and rouping woman, both of which meant a woman who buys items from an auction just to re-auction them herself.
Oh, like a fixer-upper.
Like Storage Wars, you know?
Yeah. It is like Storage Wars. Oh, wow. You think they ever used that term on Storage Wars?
Rouping woman?
Mm-hmm.
No, Kyle, I don't think they did.
I mean, it would have been cut, obviously, but...
You're saying somewhere in the outtakes.
Yeah. I think there's an hour, 2 hours worth for each episode of them just saying it.
Just like bouncing it back and forth.
Yeah. Rouping woman. Rouping wife. Hey, you got a rouping wife.
That was apparently a popular profession for single women or women supporting their family.
I guess the idea for Storage Wars had to come from somewhere, you know?
Yeah, that's why they talk about it so often. They're paying homage.
Yeah, it's a traditional thing, it's, you know?
It's a tribute.
Yeah. Before we crack open this here storage locker, does everybody want to bow your heads and say a tribute to the Rupin wives of yore?
Bow our heads in reverence.
Jeff, no, you want to start us off?
Jeff, no.
Yeah, Jeff, no. Emily, you don't watch Storage Wars, clearly.
No, I'm not a rouping wife.
Oh, we got to change that.
But Kyle, that is what I have for you on roup.
Emily, this was such a good word. It was so fun, and it's something that can be used in so many different ways.
Yes. Yeah, because I'm always talking about bird diseases, you know? I have chickens, so I'm always talking about how well they're doing.
Yeah, it's alarming, though, that the one thing that you have to talk about with your chickens is how they're constantly falling ill.
It's how poorly they are, yeah.
Yeah. I think you should maybe give them up.
Give them up? Just let them loose?
Yeah, it sounds like it might be healthier for them. And then you could roup yourself roupy, trying to get them back into your yard.
Okay, so Kyle, this is the part of the episode where I'm going to ask you to use it in a sentence. And I know you just did, but can you maybe try to do a better one?
Okay, all right. I find, I'm just going to start talking and see if it turns into a sentence. Yeah,
that's usually your method.
That is my method. You know, it's just there's, when there's too much pause, I think, what if one of us dies? We won't know, you know? So I find that in order to...
This is going to be so bad.
I find that in order to get my burrito made the way... No, I cut that. I got a better one.
Kyle, if you could just try to at least use the word correctly in one of the definitions that I gave you.
I've got it.
Okay.
Oh, what was the phrase? Roopin' and rompin'?
Rompin' and roopin'.
Whenever I go into a Moe's restaurant, unlike how other people are naturally treated, I do not receive the welcome roop with which other people might be greeted. And instead, I start to get roopy from yelling about the fact that I don't get the roop. That works, right?
So you did use roopy correctly. I think when you're using roop as a noun, it just means like throat issues.
It doesn't mean like a cry?
No. The verb to roop. But if you say the roop, then it means
bronchitis. Okay, let me try it again.
Bronchitis.
Whenever I go into a fine Moe's establishment, I am left without the rooping of the employees that other people might be greeted with.
Fantastic sentence, Kyle, and I'm sorry to hear that.
It's really unfortunate. I feel like I've never gotten the full experience. The whole enchilada.
It's usually pretty brief, but maybe we'll try to remedy that for you.
I've never been welcome there.
Do you want, next time you come to my house, do you want me to just shout out, welcome to my house?
No, I want you to yell welcome to Moe's.
Kyle, you want to play a game?
Emily, let's play a game.
Kyle, the game for you I have is called Hear Sheer.
Hear Sheer.
Hold for applause. Kyle, as I was preparing this episode, I spent a lot of time convincing various search engines and word processors that I did not, in fact, misspell the word group. I correctly spelled the word roop, which is the same word without the initial G.
Hear Sheer.
It finally clicked for Kyle. So for this game, I'm going to give you a phrase, and you're going to reiterate that phrase as two words, which are going to be the same word, except for the addition or removal of the first letter.
Sounds good.
So if I said several people shouting until hoarse together, you would say...
A roop group.
A roop group. Ready?
I'm ready.
The thing you sit in when you go to the salon...
Oh, a hair chair.
A hair chair.
That's also the leader of the hair parliament.
That's right, the hair chair.
Yeah.
Next one. How good someone is at injuring people from afar. You would say they have good this.
Good.
What might you need to accurately hit someone from afar?
Eyesight. Aim. Yeah. Aim.
You got it. All right, next one's harder. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is what you would need to do if your incense holder spilled.
Oh. What's in an incense holder? Oil?
I guess it could be, but there could also
sticks.
Be the, well, what's left over when you burn a stick?
Ash. Ash trash.
The words don't have to rhyme. They just have to be one letter apart.
Oh no.
If you had to clean up, you get soap and water and you
scrub.
Remember, it's the same word as ash, just one letter at the front.
Correct there. Okay, so it is ash. So you cash ash. I don't
wash
know.
Ash.
Wash ash.
All right. So that, yeah. So you're 2 for 3. You ready for the next one? God, the next one is equally difficult.
I'm ready. I'm so ready.
Okay. So this is when the director of a nativity play is frustrated. This is what they're feeling. So maybe start with feelings of frustration and then think about.
Is it mad?
No.
Angry.
Or in a different form of that word?
Anger. Manger anger.
Manger anger.
Oh my God, you're a monster.
I've got one more. This, it might be a little bit easier, but it's a triple. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is the best store for buying doilies.
Lace.
Uh-huh.
Ace. Lace place.
Yeah, Ace Lace place. You got it, Kyle.
Oh, wow. Emily, I am hoarse. I have the roop from laughing and enjoying here, sheer.
Which is beautiful.
Great episode, Emily. Love
Thanks,
this
man.
Word.
I'm
really
glad.
Appreciate it. And if you appreciate it at home, remember you can find Butternut Parsnips on social media, on Facebook and Instagram at Butternut Parsnips Podcast, and on TikTok at Butternut Parsnips. And if you like today's episode, consider giving us a 5-star rating or review wherever you heard us.
And if you really like today's episode, consider donating to our Patreon at patreon.com/butternutparsnips. Donating $5 or more earns you a shout out either on social media or here on the podcast.
Thanks so much to all of you. You help us make what we make.
And with that, I've been Emily Moyers.
And I've been Kyle Imperator. And this has been Butternut Parsnips.
Butternut Parsnips is produced by Seth Glicksman, Kyle Imperator, and myself, Emily Moyers. The main and accompanying themes were composed by Kyle Imperator.